We're here in the afternoon service. We started last Sunday and considering about the subject of predestination, this word of predestination. Let's go over here to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is what we looked at last time. We're just going to read through this passage and then move on to the next passage in our consideration. We're finding these words. There's four occurrence of this word predestinate or predestination. Forms of that. There's four occurrences of that. We took a look at two of them last time here. And verse number 28 of Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work to the Lord's working for his people indeed. For, or because, whom he did foreknow, the foreknowledge of God, he also did predestinate, and that's talking about determining in advance. And what we're in search of is how these words are used. We're looking for the words directly, and then we're also going to be looking at the Greek word and finding out some other occurrences that are in the Scripture. But it says here, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So the predestination reference here is that he foreknew some that in time he predetermined that they would be conformed to the image of his Son. Now we have opportunity for that in this life as we mortify the flesh and use those things that the Lord's given us, the Spirit. Peter tells us he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, we can avail ourselves to the Lord. We can avail ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord. We can avail ourselves to the power through Christ and can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, right? Those things are there. The reference here, this predestination, is to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus, as we've talked about this morning, was the first fruits in the resurrection. He is the reason for our salvation and makes salvation possible. He is the firstborn, the only begotten of the Father, and we are born to life through him. Okay, and so we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And we took a look about what it says over there in 1 John, that indeed that will happen when we see Christ and we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We ask that question, what about the time in between? Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate unto this, to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom them he also called. And now that's that thing that happens in time. He's called us in time. Them he also justified. That's a thing that the Lord does for us. Makes us as if, just as if we've never sinned, and to whom and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And we look forward to that glorification. We come over here to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we find the two occurrences there in Romans, and then two occurrences here in Ephesians chapter 1, where the words are predestinate or a form of the word predestinate. Predestinate and predestinated are the words here in Ephesians chapter 1. So let's see, what is it that this reference says that the Lord's people have been predetermined by God to be? Over there in Romans, it was to be conformed to the image of his Son. Let's see what it says here. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, he's writing to them, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he greets this church there in Ephesus, namely made of Gentiles, and to the saints. Okay, we are saints when we're saved. There doesn't have to be we don't have to die, and then there has to be a procedure and thing and order and all those kind of things that are done by the universal church to make people into saints. When you're saved, you're a saint of God. We're saints presently. And he says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So it says here that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. The Spirit of God living within. What could be a greater blessing than that? That is life. The Lord Jesus, as our brother read this morning in John 6, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. I mean, you and I need the Lord Jesus Christ above all and in every way. He says, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Even the atonement for our sins is accomplished in heaven, in the mercy seat in heaven. according as he has chosen us, okay? And so that's that, speaking of that doctrine of election, he's chosen us, he's elected us. There wasn't an election where God voted and Satan voted and then we had the deciding vote. Don't buy into that. The Lord has chosen his people, the people that he'll bring to salvation. He's done that. Otherwise, there would be none that would be saved. He says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us. He's blessed us as he's chosen us, okay? If he begins, he will finish, okay? And of course, we don't know about that choosing. We don't know about that foreknowledge. We talked about that last time. But as he has blessed us, it's according to him having chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He's chosen us that we should be a holy and without blame before him in love. This sounds very similar to that reference that we saw over there in Romans that we're to be conformed to the image of his son, right? I mean, when we're glorified, it won't be any schlock job, will it? There won't be like grade one glorification and grade three glorification. No, everybody, when you're glorified, we see Christ, we'll see him as he is, and we'll be like him. That's the only way that'll make it to where we can be seen. So that's the only way we can be to where we can see him and stand in his presence when his glory shines forth, is to be like him. So he says here, according to chosen us before the foundation of the world, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It kind of sounds in parallel to what it says in Romans 8, doesn't it? Different way of saying it. And indeed, there's a sanctification that goes on while we live this life. Brother Peter talks about the rest of the time, not to be lived according to the will of the flesh, but according to the will of God. The will of God becomes preeminent in our lives. It's supposed to. It's supposed to become preeminent in our lives. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, here's the next occurrence that we see, having predestinated us, predetermined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So we've been predestined that we would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that that's going to happen, as Brother John says in 1 John chapter 3, as we read even this morning, referenced that verse and last Sunday. Here it tells us he's predetermined that we will be adopted. We will be adopted. Wow. Being a foreigner and a stranger, being an enemy of God, and he predetermined that he would adopt me. He adopted me, and he adopted Brother Lot. He adopted Brother Samson. He adopted Brother David, Brother Daniel. He adopted Brother Joseph. Adopted us. Scripture knows, and I know that you know this, I trust that you do, and understand that the Scripture tells that he has made us joint heirs with Christ. I just can't get over how the Lord Jesus would call us brethren. But he did that with the disciples there, the apostles there. He said, go tell my brethren. Go tell my brethren. I go before you, before them into Galilee, he says. He's predetermined that he would adopt us, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Jesus went through the adoption procedure. Having predetermined us unto the adoption of children. We're not servants. And we do serve the Lord, and we worship the Lord, and we seek to glorify and lift up the name of our great Savior and King. But we've been made children. We belong in the house. We're welcome. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, can't we? Find grace to help in time of need. Indeed, we belong there. He predetermined that he would adopt us by Jesus Christ to himself. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in verse number 3, accordingly he's chosen us. You see the Father at work here, don't we? Having predestinated us. It's, the Father has predestinated us to adoption, the adoption of children by his Son to himself. Yeah. The Father knows me. If you're here and saved, knows you. You can pray to your Heavenly Father by the one that did the adoption proceedings, by Jesus. He did it. He did that adoption by the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus did, his substitutionary work in every way. He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. That then that might be, his fulfilling of that might be imputed to us. May the Lord help us to grab a hold that this thing is salvation. It's not some cheap, nonsensical kind of little hobby sideline thing. You know, this isn't the Elks Club. This isn't the American Legion or any other club. This isn't that. This isn't like those things. And our day and our world kind of treats it like that, doesn't it? In many ways. This is serious eternal stuff. He's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, what he wanted to do. The Lord took it on himself to do these things. The Lord considered us, and that we in and of ourselves were totally dead and depraved and have no hope. That's what the foreknowledge of the Lord told him, is that I had no help and no hope unless he would intervene. According to the good pleasure of his own will, because he wanted to. Now, there's a reason for it. Listen to this. To the praise of the glory of his grace. He's been very gracious. He has been very favorable. He's been favorable to the unlovable. And you know what that should do? That should cause us to praise his name. Amen. Praise his name. Glorify his name for what he has done. Hosanna in the highest. He's done these things in his good pleasure. He's predestinated us to this adoption according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, his favor upon us. Listen to this. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, God accepts us by the Lord Jesus Christ, not we accept him. Yeah, God accepts us by Jesus Christ, not we accepting him. But John tells us in John chapter 1, verse number 12, that we receive him on his terms, his word, his way. No ifs, ands, or buts. You receive the Lord as he is. Don't receive the Lord as he is. Don't believe, as the Lord Jesus told those, and we read in the book of John, he said, you don't believe that I'm he? Well, John chapter 8, you'll die in your sins. You don't receive me as I am. You don't receive that hard saying that I said, you've got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You're going to die in your sins. You need me. You need me. He's made us accepted in the beloved. We belong in the house. We belong near the Lord. You know that thing of the resurrection that we considered this morning? It's just a natural thing. One is resurrected from the dead. They're going to be right there with Christ. Now, I believe in the millennial reign, we'll have duties. We'll have responsibility in that. But it's all going to be because of Christ and for the sake of Christ, and we'll report back to Christ. Isn't that something? That the Lord doesn't have to have a layer of administration. Right? Companies have to have administration, and it turns into layers, and our government's got more administration than government goes on. But the Lord doesn't have to have any administration. And for everything that the Lord gives us to do, we can go and we can answer to him directly. Well, we can just communicate with him directly. That's going to be a wonder, isn't it? Hard for us to conceive of that. But it's so. hard for us to perceive it, rather to get it. He's done these things, the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, bought back. I've been redeemed. You take something down to the pawn shop and you hock it, you get some money for it. If you want that something back, you've got to go redeem it. That's what Jesus did. I'm going to redeem Jim Duke. Some 2,000 years ago, to redeem Jim Duke, he shed his blood. He shed his blood for you that are here and saved. When he died there on the cross and he suffered so and he shed his blood, he did that to redeem you. In whom we have redemption through his blood. You know how far that redemption goes? Even the forgiveness of sins. It says that in another place in the scripture, even the forgiveness of sins, speaking about the atonement. That's how far it goes. It's so good, it's so complete, your sins, plural, are forgiven. Yes, I know our nature is there, but I'll pose this to you. Nowhere does it ever say in the scripture that I can find that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our nature. He gives us a new nature. Because the old nature is this old man, and what it needs to do is die. It needs to be mortified. Jesus died for our sins. All the atonements of the ceremonial sacrificial law were for transgressions. And Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Oh yeah, we have sin in us. We're depraved. We're bent towards it as soon as we hit the air. All we want to do is lie, right? Baby will cry when there's nothing to cry about. Come forth from the womb speaking lies, the scripture says. And we, in that we multiply our transgression against the Lord. Multiply it. I was talking to sister this morning. The Lord is very sensitive to sin and disobedience in every way. Any transgression. No matter how light we might think it is or how great we might think it is, if it's a transgression of the law of God in ignorance or in willfulness, in that whole range, because we can sin ignorantly, we can sin willfully, in that whole range, if it's a sin against God, it's a sin against God. He's that holy and righteous. Not one transgression, not one sin is ever overlooked by God. They've all got to be dealt with. And he's redeemed us. That redemption is so good. That blood is so powerful. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, his favor. The salvation of the Lord is so complete. Every facet, every aspect of salvation is so complete and so wondrous. And, you know, It would be great to be spared hell, but the Lord went on above and beyond that and has given us glory. You understand what I'm saying? He's going when the Lord starts pouring out the grace, when the Lord starts pouring out the favor, He does a great and wonderful job of it, doesn't he? So much so that now we're not just porters in the house of the Lord, but we're children. We're children. Wherein, verse 8, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He has spent some time on us. He has been wise in redeeming us and accepting us and working it and predetermining for us and adopting it for us and conforming us and one day will glorify. He's abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. By the Lord's wisdom and ability, we are brought to salvation. How could it be? But with the Lord, he's done so. And it says here, the remainder of this goes on. So it's a long sentence starting at verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, Wherein that grace he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence in these things, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Jesus said to the apostles and to us, I've showed you everything that the Father's shown me. Everything that the Father's shown me, I've shown to you. All of it, I've shown it to you. And by me showing that to you, the Lord Jesus says, you know you're connected to the Father. He's revealed to us in his word the mystery of his will. He's revealed to us why Christ came and died. Isaiah says that we naturally look on at Christ and see him pummeled and beaten and bleeding and broken and bruised and afflicted. And we say, what did he do? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace, our peace, was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He's shown us that. See, other people in the world don't have a clue of that. They don't have a clue of that. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. It's what he decided to do. The Lord, knowing all things, yet decided to do this for us. It's a wonder, isn't it? It's a wonder. Think of yourself being king of the world. Would you step down from that for the sake of another? We wouldn't, would we? That's being honest. We wouldn't. But our Lord did. Our Heavenly Father sent his Son to do so. And it goes on to say here, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He's determined this all by himself, that in the dispensation, that word is dispensation, is speaking about stewardship, the responsibility of the Lord's creation and what his work, what he has wrought here, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Sin made a mess of this place. And yet through Christ, the Lord's going to fix it. Mankind made a wreck of this whole earth. And the commands that God had given men to do, we've not been good stewards, have we? We've not obeyed. But you know what Christ is going to do? Every command given by God to men, Christ is going to fulfill. Brother Jim, I know one. Jesus never had a wife, so he couldn't have any children, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Oh, wait a minute. He gave up an earthly wife so that he might be a Savior and bring children to the Lord and indeed fill up that new earth. Amen? See that? I mean, you name it, Jesus is going to fulfill it. He's going to bring all things under dominion, isn't he? Just like the Lord said, have dominion over everything on the earth to the honor and glory and praise of the Father. Jesus is going to do it. We've not done it, but Jesus is going to do it. That in the dispensation of the stewardship of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are in glory, in heaven, as we refer to it. The scripture refers to it. They're there with the Lord. In the future, we're going to all be brought together. We're all going to be in one place. We are in this church age and members of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. One day our membership will be moved. Amen. The Lord's family will be there. The Lord's nation will be there. The Lord's church will be there. And to think that he would include us. Praise his name. Amen. Praise his holy name. That in the dispensation or stewardship of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Listen, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, predetermined, verse number 5, having predestinated us into the adoption of children. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, predetermined, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It won't be said, Jim's the adopted son, he doesn't get anything. That won't be said about you, will it? But we even have an inheritance. We touched on it this morning where the Lord's dealing with Thomas and Philip, right? And he's speaking to the disciples and he said, I go to prepare a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I do that, I'll come back for you. That where I am, there you may be also. An inheritance. Have a mansion. Have a mansion. I wonder if we'll even go there. You know, the aloof and the wealthy of the world, they'll talk about the different houses or the houses or places that they have, the mansions that they have on different continents, and it would be said, you know, we've all seen this kind of thing one time or another on TV or hear about it or whatever, and say, well, it's been 5 years since they've been to this place, but we keep it ready in case he decides to come here. Because the Lord only has elevated folk around him, kings and priests. Amen. That's what he says, what John writes. He said, he's made us unto our Lord kings and priests. Kings. He give us, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that's part of the blessing of the Lord, but the great blessing of the Lord is that he's given himself to us. And we're able to be there with him. And it won't be like the Lord's the king and he looks down his nose at you. But the Lord will smile and welcome us and love us and be as interested in every single one of us as he is the other. Isn't that something? I tell you what, if that doesn't thrill you, I don't know what will. Your thriller's broke. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I would not have been that gracious to me, to adopt me. I know me. I'm not worth adopting. I wouldn't have given me an inheritance either. I wouldn't have given my son for me. But our Lord has. He has. And if he's given the Lord Jesus Christ, as he declares in what the book of Romans, shall he not also freely give us all things? He will. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, predetermined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We'll be there, as it said, trophies of his graciousness, his favor. Because we're there in the midst and presence of the Lord, we will be there to his praise. He will have touched us, saved us, blessed us, conformed us to the image of his Son, and done all this for us. Will be there a testimony, a living testimony to the goodness of God towards men. Wow. Predestinated to be conformed to his image. Predestinated to adoption, but not an adoption without an inheritance, but as it says, joint heirs with Christ. So we'll continue to take. Next time we'll take a look. These are all the occurrences of this word or any form of the word predestinate. And there in Romans, two occurrences, and there here in Ephesians, two occurrences. We'll take a look at other renderings of this same Greek word next time, Lord willing. And we'll be going over in the book of Acts, and we'll be going over the book of 1 Corinthians. And then after that, I want to take a look also about other words that are closely related or that we would maybe consider relative to this word predetermined or predestination. I talked to you last time, and I mentioned it, I think, even in the cottage.